Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So I think I've told this story before, but when I was my kind of 8 minutes of stand-up that I had when I was in New York performing, and I had a joke about how Wisconsin's a cheese state, but it doesn't really make sense because we only make 25% of the country's cheese, but we make over 60% or we grow over 60% of the country's cranberries. And then I had a joke about how cranberries just aren't on brand for Wisconsin. It's like Laura Dean, if she made Lara bars and all these different things. And yet, here we are, as Wisconsin does. We grow over 60% of the cranberries. It's a huge business for us. And so just like we had a ginseng farmer on a couple of weeks ago, we thought as it comes to the end of the harvest for cranberries this year, that we would get someone on to come talk to us about cranberries. And so our guest this half hour is Tom Lochner, who served as the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association since 1989 and has helped build the organization to support the state's number one fruit crop. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Tom.
Well, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And so since 1989, did you grow up as a cranberry farmer, or how did you get into cranberries?
No, I didn't grow up as a cranberry farmer. Actually, I graduated from the UW-Madison with a degree in agriculture. I came from a rural community in southwest Wisconsin and always had an interest in agriculture, loved the ag school. And after I got out of UW, I took a job with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation and held a number of positions there. And the growers were looking for an executive director for their organization in 89. I knew some of the growers from my work at Farm Bureau, and they hired me in 89. We had two offices in Wood County Bank and a desk and a phone, and we built the organization since, and I was their first executive director and been there for 33 years and love it.
That's incredible. That's awesome. That's so cool as far as, like, it's so rare now that you have anyone who has spent that much time with one organization and is even built it and then still stayed. And so that is, how much of things changed in the 30 years? I would imagine a lot, but what are some of the biggest, most noticeable changes been?
Boy, there's been a lot of them. There's been some constants. There's been some changes. I think technology, just in general, how we grow the crop, has changed dramatically from when I first started in 89 to where we are today. A lot of the practices that we used to engage in, we don't anymore. We've adopted new practices that I think are more sensitive environmentally, more sustainable. We've moved to more sustainable production practices. We've looked at our environmental impact. And, and for those people who have been in and around cranberries, there's a very strong environmental ethic. We live on the land. Our growers live there. They've been there for five, six or more generations. They think long term. So we've seen technology, the machinery and equipment has changed. A lot of the harvest equipment has changed quite a bit. So that just because we have labor is hard to find during the harvest season. So there's been a lot of improvements there. I think overall, too, we've seen a lot of changes in how we manage pests and nutrients. Just in the application technologies have changed dramatically. We practice integrated pest management, which means we take a close look at tracking insect pest populations and then managing them, not trying to eradicate them. A lot of newer control methods have come on, new technologies. The old chemistries are gone. The broad spectrum chemicals are gone. And growers are using a lot more very focused products or using cultural practices. We flood and, we can flood the beds in the spring and kill bugs. We've got a lot of biopesticides that have come on. We're using nematodes. We're using mating disruption, things like that. The equipment we put them on with has changed quite dramatically. And the markets have changed too. But the one constant is the growers are committed and progressive, and that's why I've stuck around for 33 years. They're a lot of fun to work with, and I learn something new every day. So,
Tom, is it accurate to say that without bogs, we would be cranberry-less?
Probably, but the reason we grow cranberries here in Wisconsin is they're native to the state. The original, the native peoples harvested them for eons before white settlement. European settlers came in, found wild stands in central Wisconsin. Well, they started in Massachusetts, but They don't. I don't want to cast aspersions on my friends in Massachusetts, but we have much better growers out here and grow a lot more cranberries than they do. But they were here in the wild, and the growers enhanced and cultivated those wild stands, and the industry evolved to what it is today. So.
That's funny. I was trying to think of a joke as far as like sticking it to Boston, as far as our cranberry rivalry with Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's very not niche. Even close anymore.
So how is this harvest? Because it's basically November 1st is usually like the cutoff date for trying to get all the cranberries in, right?
Yeah, I think the conversations I had this week, most everybody's wrapped up harvesters. There's a couple of fresh fruit guys that are still picking fruit and probably will be into next week. But we wrapped up the harvest. I haven't seen any final numbers, but anecdotally, I'm hearing from growers that the crop was a little bit down from what they expected.
Okay.
We'll get better numbers later on, but fruit quality was good. There'll be plenty of fresh fruit for the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. So people should be able to pick up the fruit then, and then we'll have fruit in the freezers to make products throughout the year.
We're talking to Tom Lochner, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. And because I think that's it needs to be for a good harvest to happen, it needs to get cold enough early enough, right? That there's like it has to do with the temperature.
Right. Well, cranberries grow on a perennial plant, so it's actually about a 16-month process to grow a crop. The fruit buds for next year's crop are on the vine right now. They were set in August, so we have to take care of those as we move through the fall and into the next growing season. But we like cold weather in the fall. That brings on the color in the fruit, and we don't want to harvest white fruit. We like a nice red berry to get to the market. So you're right. We like that cold weather. It's pretty much the same type of weather that brings on the color in the trees and it tracks closely with maples. But earlier in the growing season, we like different types of weather. Coming up, the next phase of the growing season, growers will be looking for some really, really cold weather. They love below zero weather. When we get that, they'll flood the beds and trying to build up 12 to 16 inches of ice on top of that, on top of the vines, and then that settles down like a blanket and protects the buds and vines over the winter time. And so they like that cold weather, and they always tell me, the good old days when we just get 3 weeks of 20 below, they just love that. I thought, boy, these guys are a little bit odd, but I'll roll with that. And then in the spring, we'll start to come out of dormancy. The vines grow and we protect them from frost. We can get frost any night in the growing season. We run the sprinklers to keep a stream of water going across the vines, and that'll protect that tender growth in the spring. And then we move into bloom. We like it nice and warm during the growing season. After that, the plants flower. We bring bees in to pollinate them. They start to set fruit, and we like some warm weather to get that fruit to size up and then color up in September and harvest them in October.
So I think when we talk about the different weather and especially the desire for it to be cold, because I would say even what I remember, it seems like year after year, the winters are getting more mild in Wisconsin. And so whether you want to call it climate change or global warming or whatever, is there concern as far as having milder and milder winters and what that will do or could do for cranberry growers, and is there more technology that's being developed, and if that continues to be the trend?
Yeah, that's a good question. We've always managed weather, deal with what Mother Nature gives us. That's 85% of the crop out there that's out of your control, and you try to manage for it. And yeah, we've seen milder winters, so you have to be a little bit more savvy in tracking things, especially getting your winter flood on. And getting that ice made. But, the growing seasons have been a little bit warmer, a little bit longer. We spent a pretty good deal of time. We've had two really good plant physiologists at UW-Madison that are taking a look at cold and heat tolerance within cranberries and trying to develop management strategies. We're also looking at some possible products that may be used to protect or enhance the cold tolerance of of the plants. We're also looking at heat tolerance. So, and we're doing a lot of research, and we fund a lot of research and support that at UW. And we've got a great team down there. And we also recently opened up a research station over in Jackson County that is serving growers and starting to ask those types of questions. But it's what we manage for, and it's more challenging, but we're trying to get more technology to tell us what's going on out there and then get the answers from research as to how we can manage to continue to grow a crop here.
And Tom, you mentioned too that you bring bees in. We're nothing without bees. We're not going to have much to eat. We're not going to have much to eat without bees.
That's true. Pollinators, I can't remember the statistics, but it's just phenomenal the amount of food that requires pollination. Bees are important part of that. Honeybees. We use some bumblebees that growers actually buy, commercial bumblebees, and bring them in. They're better pollinators than honeybees, actually. And we've done a lot of work with folks at UW on pollinator gardens and protecting pollinators in general and enhancing them. But creating native habitat for native pollinators is important as well. And we're seeing a lot of growers plant pollinator gardens and rely on them. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That's an essential part of growing food here in the U.S. and across the world.
Yeah, that's really, I don't even think about that, Jane, as far as the how much bees really are very much part of our food system. And I think also because I always associated every time I went to Wisconsin Rapids, which is where my family is from, the bogs and everything. But because this is when we harvest, I always associated it with fall and winter, where most of the bees die. So I wouldn't even put those together, but that's obviously the full season makes a difference. All right, well, we have to go to a break. When we come back, I'd like to learn more about who the farmers are, because I feel like we talk about dairy farmers a lot. So when we come back, I want to ask you about who are our cranberry growers. Our guest this half hour is Tom Lochner, and this is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. This half hour, we are talking to Tom Lochner, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. And someone texted in with a question?
We do, Tom. Texter from the 715 says, it doesn't seem like cranberry-based foods aren't popular anymore in Wisconsin. Why don't we market cranberries as much as we did before?
Oh, I think cranberries, market's been growing, actually, and primarily overseas. When I started, we exported about 5% of the crop, and now we're sending probably 35 to 40% of it overseas, primarily into the EU. There's a whole host and wide variety of cranberry products available to the consumers, and we see that growing. That the advent of dried cranberries has opened up a lot of markets to us, and a lot of new products have been developed around dry cranberries, as well as the traditional cranberry juices and sauces. So we're marketing fruit. Our as an organization is to help growers grow a high quality crop and deliver that to the market and to the processors, and then their role is to develop products and move it out into the consumer. But I think one of the things to keep in mind for folks is that only about 3% of the crop is sold as fresh fruit in bags, and 97% ends up in a freezer and then is processed during the year. And people are very innovative with how they use those processed products or how they create products with cranberries.
And that was going to be my next question, as far as, because a fresh cranberry is very tart. It does not taste like the craisins that you get from Ocean Spray that has a lot of added sugar to it. And that, isn't it something like a super small percentage of humans can eat them without, like, and have them because of their anatomy or their physiology or whatever, taste them or like, oh, these are, I could just eat a handful of fresh cranberries. And most of us would be like, oh God, that's a lot.
Yeah. And once you have a couple of them, you get past that, that shock and then they're okay. But I can eat them and most growers can eat them, but they're not something you eat like grapes. So usually they're used to make something and it has an ingredient in it. So it's a little bit different, but yeah, they're a little tart. To say the least.
Well, I tell you, dried cranberries covered in dark chocolate is one of the best things in the world, Tom. So I'm hoping we will soon become really, really close friends.
Yeah, they are pretty good. And we've got a couple of, actually, there's a couple of operations in Wisconsin Rapids that make some pretty good ones. So
there's a cranberry store like that says everything in there is like it's both cranberry products, like food that are edible, but then it's all tchotchkes and cranberry gear and t-shirts and cutting boards and stuff. I'm of course Debbie Bryant loves that store. And so I think we talk a lot about kind of the standoff, but there is we talk about the family farm in Wisconsin a lot compared to the bigger industrial farms. And I think a lot of times people's minds go to dairy farms. Is that a similar divide or what is kind of the makeup of who our cranberry growers are? Are they independent? Are they part of big companies?
That's a good question. One of the great things about my job is we work with a diversity of growers and they're primarily family farmers, multi-generational farms. And when we talk about sustainability and a lot of the things that we try to do and within the association is to make sure that growers are in a position that they are economically sustainable and their goal is to pass the farm along to the next generation. And because cranberries have been a good way to make a living, there's interest in the young people coming back to the farm. The boards I'm working with are very young. They're enthusiastic. They're passionate about their business. And I have members of my board who I can remember when they were born because I knew their parents. People that signed my checks. At one point, one of our former babysitters was signing our checks. So it is a multi-generational family operation, and they range in size from 4 acres to maybe up to 700 or 800 acres. But they're owned and operated by the families. One of the things I think people understand, most maybe a lot of people don't, is that the Ocean Spray Cooperative is a cooperative that is owned by the growers. It's and they own and operate it. They got together back in the 50s and 60s and went national with Ocean Spray to develop products for the market The growers own and operate that. Their brand is Ocean Spray, but they're the shareholders, and that's who the board and the management is accountable to. And I think that's been one of the successes that we've seen within agriculture, and they've been one of the more successful marketing co-ops. There's other co-ops that have formed in Wisconsin that help growers capture not just the commodity price, but the value added up as you go up the supply chain, and that reflects in the fact that we're not a commodity. We're selling a final product, that goes right into the growers' families' pockets.
Well, that's good to hear. All right, my final question is: would you recommend doing a cranberry marsh tour?
Oh, absolutely! It's the best time of the year, and any time of the year has come out. But harvest time. I was out on the over at the research station yesterday. It was just a beautiful sunny fall day, 50 degrees. We weren't harvesting or anything, but there's eagles flying over. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Just beautiful day, the water and all that stuff. But the harvest tours are great. You get a chance to get that crimson berry on the blue water with the blue sky and the fall colors in the background. It's a great way to spend a day and to get out and do those types of things. So I would encourage people to do it. And it's a good time to stop late June, early July is when they're in bloom. It's a beautiful time to be out there as well.
All right. Well, we will put that information because I think I saw that on the website as far as how to schedule something like that. But Tom Lochner, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. And if you're up in the area, we'd be happy to take you out for a tour.
I absolutely will because that's where my parents live. So
yeah, I know.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Tom Lochner has served as the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association since 1989. That was a lot of fun to learn more about that. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, Benjamin Bry will be here to talk about Elon Musk taking over Twitter. This is As Goes Wisconsin. They win. They will come.